Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Jeremy, I had a call this week from a friend, or actually a text message, and I was reminded of how different we are from normal people.
How so?
Because I got this text message that said, "Hey, Brad, what are your top five places to eat at Walt Disney World? Because our family, I just found out we're going to Walt Disney World." And I'm like, "Oh, great. Yeah, here, let me give you some suggestions." And she's like, "And also, if I'm having trouble getting reservations, my brother wants to get a reservation at Ohana, and we haven't been able to get one. What do you do?" And I'm like, you keep trying to get one because, right. You know, a lot of times it's really hard to get a reservation. And I'm like, so when exactly are you planning on going? Oh, we're actually going to go July 4th through the 8th.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Also, what's a good place to see the fire, you know, the July 4th fireworks? Where would you suggest to do that? And so on and so on. And meanwhile, I am like freaking out on behalf of this person. I'm like, you have chosen the busiest time to go.
Try to pick a worse time than that. Christmas, right. Maybe?
Yeah, Christmas and New Year's, is going to be as bad, and perhaps even a little bit worse. But I mean, most people that you talk to will say that July 4th is right up there.
Uh-huh.
And also, they're just now planning. Dude, yeah. They're just now, it's 2 months away, which I recognize, like, for normal people, they go, "I have 2 months to plan this vacation. That's forever." And I'm like, "You're 4 months too late."
Yeah.
Like, yeah. you want to know where you can go eat at, and you've got a party of 12, I think it was.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, yeah, a party of 12 to try to get Ohana, you know, Le Cellier, and all of these. Oh my goodness, man. It stressed me out so badly for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, so basically you're going to want to download the app, mm-hmm. and you're going to want to start checking multiple times per day for anything that you want. And you're probably just going to take whatever you can get, mm-hmm. and then try to work your way up.
That's what you go in the app and you just tell it, "I want a reservation for evening."
Right.
Don't even bother putting a time in.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you can get me in the evening, and then let me start working from there, and you know, grab this, and then at the point where something better pops up, something closer to what I want pops up, then I'm going to grab that one. And
right.
Man, like, I just they asked me, they're like, "Would you? Is this the, you know?" And it's really hard because I'm like, why are you doing this? You know, like, but at the same time, I don't want to like douse their flames of excitement. You know, I'm excited for them. This is actually their first chance to go to Disney. And I, at the same time, I'm like, oh my gosh, what, this is going to be like your idea of what Disney is like at the busiest time. Oh my goodness.
Well,
but,
and it's a lot of pressure too, because if someone looks to you as like Disney expert man, and, you know, is asking you all these questions about planning your vacation. Claire and I just did this with a person that she works with, by the way. They went on a trip with like a month or two's notice also. I mean, they didn't have very much notice. And so we like made them a big plan. We wrote out a bunch of stuff and gave it to them. And they had a really great time. And they said, wow, that was, you know, really good. And that felt good. But, you know, it's like, that's a lot of pressure. If they had had a bad time, I would have really felt guilty about it, because I, you know, the things that I did, the things that I told them to do, so on and so forth, really had an effect on what they did, you know, how their vacation was.
Yeah, you basically decided these are the things that you're going to focus on, Yeah, that's a, you know, like they asked me, so what are your top pick? What are the things that we must do in each park? And I'm like,
right.
Yeah. How do I, you know, because these are the things that I like, but maybe you don't like them. And I don't want to tell you.
How do I tell you that Fantasmic is like one of the best things in the world to me? And then you go and you hate it.
Right.
You know, and you've basically wasted an hour or so seeing a nighttime show that you didn't even like. Like, that's a lot of pressure.
Exactly. And so, you know, I'm trying to pick three or four things out for each park and, you know, trying to also explain Mission Space is great if you don't get motion sickness.
Right.
If you want to do thrill rides, you're going to want to do this and this. And, right. You know, that fortunately for Hollywood Studios, picking three or four things is really easy to pick because
the whole park.
Yeah, exactly. here's everything you can do there and you're done. But and then there was the, you know, so there's 12 people, right? 12 people, six of them are kids. Of them are kids, with the oldest kid clocking in at like 7.
Oh,
if I
man.
Recall, it's something like 7, 6, 5, 4, 2.5, and oof. Baby.
I wouldn't even know what to tell them to do.
See, that's my, like, I'm like, you want to know my top restaurants? Le Cellier and California
right.
Grill.
Yeah.
Don't take a kid to, you know, like, maybe you can take your kids to, you don't want to take your kids to California Grill because it's going to be way overpriced and mm-hmm. it's just, it's going to feel
and
awkward
boring
for
as
you.
Heck to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Meanwhile, what you really want is you want to do Chef Mickey's or you want to do Crystal Palace, you know, and I tried to suggest those things, but I immediately recognize I'm much less prepared to make those sort of suggestions, you know.
You want to do Ohana for breakfast.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. How do you give those things?
Mm-hmm. It's so subjective, you know, like people. I think about this all the time. Like, people really enjoy all of the, you know, attractions at Universal. I find them to be mostly derivative and the same, you know? But lots of people in my wife's family, love Universal. And they're like, oh my gosh, Spider-Man's so fun. Transformers is so fun. All these restaurants, all these rides are so fun. And I look at them and I'm just like, wow, you know, they're all pretty similar. But so I would never be able to tell someone like, yeah, you got to go on Spider-Man or whatever. But people love it. It's so tough when, especially someone who's never been and who is like, who is basing their first visit on your recommendations, especially with six kids. Like, how can somebody? The only person who could give them advice on what to do is another person with six kids.
Right. Or at least,
you know what I mean?
Or at least another person with, let's say, three kids under the age of 10.
Yeah. More than two.
Yeah. I feel like that is going to be a, you know, a lot more help to you. And you know, they're like, so we're going to be there for through the 4th through the 8th. So what? 4, 5, 6, 7. So 5 days. And we're thinking about doing, you know, should we do park hoppers? No. No, you're going in July. Don't do a park hopper. Just
right.
don't.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like the woman who we helped plan, you know, asked us, how do you do Disney? And Claire and I were both like, you don't want to do it the way we do it.
Right.
Like, Claire and I will sometimes just take a day and make it a resort day and never even hit a park. And we love it. It's like sometimes one of the better days that we're there.
And meanwhile, if Brad is there and does that, it bugs that. I mean, now, if I'm there for like a week, like 7 days, I will do that. But if I'm there for 5 days,
we wouldn't do it for 4 days. But it's like we take it slow. We'll sit there for an hour and watch Citizens of Hollywood and then, you know, sit there for another 30 minutes just watching people. Like, we like to take it real slow and kind of just be leisurely. But a lot of people would not, you know, want to do that.
Yeah, well, I did manage to talk them out of Park Hopper. I talked them out of dining plan, you know, but the thing is, like, every time I'm like, here is the reason behind why I don't choose this for myself. If you feel like your priorities are different than mine, pick it. I'm not going to be upset with you, but That's the, you know, but if you want my personal opinion on it, this is right. what it is. And then they were like, so what about the water parks? And I said, you know what? I haven't done a water park. And if you're only going to be there for 5 days, I don't think I would plan a water park mm-hmm. for this trip. I mean, again, if they were going to be there like during value season or something like that, absolutely. Take a water park day. I just don't know that I would do that. And in July, I mean, July, you would love to be at a water park.
Sure.
But I don't know that you're going to find yourself feeling like you have the time.
Well, and with a bunch of kids, maybe it would be. But again, we have no way of knowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
My kid is seven months old. Like, I would not.
You're definitely taking that kid over to the water park.
But like maybe with a bunch of kids, a water park would be easy because you can just tell them like, hey, go in the wave pool.
Or you have to track six kids in a water park.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I guess that's one adult per child. They did do at least that much. You know, they managed to even out the kid to adult ratio. But oh man, yeah, it's been such a stressful conversation. And like you said, just I guess to some extent it's to validate why, you know, yes, you know that I'm a crazy fan about this.
Yeah.
And I want you to go and understand why I'm mm-hmm. a crazy fan about this. And if I don't tell you the right thing to do, you're going to come back and think I'm even crazier because now you've experienced it and now you definitely don't get it.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for telling me to do Illuminations, Brad. What a snoozer.
Right.
What a waste of our time.
Yeah. Yeah, what if they, you know, it's like when they ask me about Magic Kingdom, go do Pirates, go do It's a Small World, go do Peter Pan if you want to see classic Disney stuff,
mm-hmm.
but don't go do it if you maybe don't want to do those things.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. It was rough, but yeah, it's especially rough hearing we're 2 months away and I think I sent three different times and about those fast passes. You should be doing that now.
Yeah.
And about those fast passes, you should really be on that now.
You should be doing that a month ago.
Right, right. About those fast passes. Are you doing those fast passes yet? Here's at the end of the day, the only thing that I wish is at the time that they contacted me, they had already booked their room and they had already booked their park tickets, right?
Yeah.
I just wish they would have contacted me before they did that because the one thing that I think would have made a huge difference, and please note that Missing the Mouse is unfortunately still, we are not sponsored. If you'd like to sponsor us, feel free to do so. But but this is not Brad talking to get paid because I'm not even going to suggest a specific one. But if they had contacted me before they had done that stuff, I would have said, you know, here, let me do a little research for you. I will find out who is considered to be a good Disney vacation consultant,
a travel agent.
Yeah
Yep.
because you can do that for the same price.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cost you any more money. They're getting their money, they get their cut from Disney, and then they make that itinerary for you. You want to go eat at Ohana, they're, you know, and now don't get me wrong, not every Disney travel agent, vacation, whatever they want to call it, like not every one of them is going to do that, but I've had them do that. The good ones are going to do that. And I've heard of other ones that, so I know that it wasn't just like a one-off thing that I got, but like that can make such a big difference. And I have regularly told people, you know what, if you don't like, for me, I'm not going to do that. I want to have all of that control over my vacation. I want to save, you know, the $30 or $40 a ticket to get undercover tourist. I'm going to work my Orbitz bucks. I'm going to go to Kroger and get my Disney gift card so I get my fuel. Like, I'm working all of those little things to try to save a little money, and I don't mind doing all of that extra work. But that's because I know I am one of these Disney crazy people. And probably if you're listening, you're one of those Disney crazy people too. I'm one of those Disney crazy people who knows about how to do all of these things and is willing to put in the time. But for somebody who's not, I don't think you want to try to do this.
I'm a Disney crazy person, and it's insane to me to think like with this resource available, this free agent who will do everything for me, It's insane to me to like ever want to plan my own vacation again.
See, like, it's not a free agent for me. It's not a free agent for me because, like I said, I could save $30 on my tickets. I can save, you know, $30 on my room. I can, you know, I can maybe save $100 all in. And so it's not a free agent from that perspective. But yes, if you're going to pay the stock prices to Disney, you know, the list price to Disney, then absolutely it's a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about the differences between you and me. If I am presented with an option that is nearly the same, but it's easier, then I'm gonna go with that one. Just because I part of vacation relaxation for me is not having to deal with all of the nitty gritty planning stuff. Like, that will start my vacation early. If I can just know that, hey, here's this document that says we want to eat at these places, we want to stay at this place, so on and so forth, and then I can just peace out and wait for a total, then I'm all over that, because that starts my vacation early.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see that perspective on it. I guess at the end of the day, what I know is that at this rate, I'm going to be writing an itinerary for a bunch of people. And really, really hoping that it works out for them. But
yeah.
Anyway, assuming that you're not going to Disney in July, in planning for tonight's episode, you know, as I normally do, I went to the Disney Parks blog and read all the blah 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 on that, try to see if there's any interesting news or whatever. Mm-hmm. And among the I will call it puffery that they put on the blog post, there's the, you know, hey, here's 6 new magic shots that are now available at Disney Parks. Which magic shots, for those of you who don't know, are...
Shots.
No. I mean, maybe at Disney Springs, maybe at Jock Lindsey's or something, but inside the parks, they are the photos that you get with the PhotoPass photographers where, like, suddenly Tinkerbell is in your shot, or... Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Wazowski is there, or it's a video all of a sudden.
When the PhotoPass person tells you, hold your hands out like you're holding something.
Right, right.
Or, that's what they're doing.
Okay, look down at the ground and look really scared. Okay, now look really excited. Okay, now look, turn around and I'm just going to take a picture of your back. Those sorts of things are the magic shots, right?
Yeah.
And I went, meh, okay, cool, new magic shots. And I went and looked at them and I thought, Those are pretty cool. I, you know, there were a couple of them in there that I would not mind having. And then it suddenly hit me that I have been so underestimating magic shots. And magic shots are brilliant. I have to give so many kudos to Disney for doing them, because they snuck in and I totally missed the point of magic shots up until today. And yes, I recognize that as you're listening to this and I'm coming to this realization, you're like, I recognized this a long time ago. And that's great for you, but I just finally realized it. And that is, Disney finally figured out a way in... So think back, you know, even when, say the PhotoPass started, right? When PhotoPass started, everybody was carrying around iPhone 3 GS, right? Maybe.
And, in 2009.
Yeah. I don't know. But at the time when PhotoPass started, you were definitely carrying around a phone that was many generations older than what it currently is, right?
Right.
And it was probably taking potato quality pictures.
Right. Camera was not great.
Right, right. So you would take your picture and, you know, maybe you had like a prosumer. Like, I used to have, you know, a little prosumer micro 4/3 camera.
Mm-hmm.
That would give me a much better shot than what my cell phone could give me. But plenty of people didn't have that. And that was heavy. It was bulky around my neck. And that was just a micro 4/3. If you actually had anything with like different lenses and things like
with a mirror.
Like, yeah. That's just insane to try to carry around the parks all day. It's so much easier to just have somebody else take your picture. It's a good high quality photo,
mm-hmm.
and you get it, you know, you can get it at the end of the day or whatever. But as time moved forward, suddenly everybody has a pretty darn good camera with them at all times. It, you know, slides in and out of their pocket. And yes, the PhotoPass cameras are still better, and you know, we could get into depth of field and all that sort, but for the most part, your cell phone camera is now totally acceptable for every yep. picture that you need, right?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Yeah. So what I had failed to realize up until this point is Magic Shots are what is making PhotoPass relevant all over again. Because that is giving them something that you cannot get. Before mm-hmm. it was, you cannot easily get a good high quality photo of you and, you know, you and your family or whatever from the parks. Now it's, you're not going to get this photo with Pua unless right. you have the photo pass. And right. if you pay for the photo pass, you can get this cool little Pua photo, or you can get the photo, you know, out at Animal Kingdom where it tells you about the animals and all this kind of stuff. Or you can get the photo where you're holding Tinkerbell in front of the Christmas tree or something like that. But if you don't have it, you've got a good photo of you in front of the Christmas tree, but mm-hmm. is Tinkerbell in it?
Right. Well, and I think it's also it's modern technology. I mean, the Magic Shots are not only unique to PhotoPass, but they're automated. Like, Disney doesn't have to do a single thing. The PhotoPass person just says, this one's going to be whatever, and it happens. It just happens automatically, and that's not something they could have done, you know, whatever, however many years ago, 10 years ago either. So, I think it's incredible technologically, and yeah, I hadn't really thought about those being a way to keep PhotoPass relevant, but I think you're totally right. I think that's absolutely one of the best things about it for Disney anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and they're great for, I still think that they're good for guests as well, because it's definitely a big value add sure. for getting those done. You know,
well, you get all your ride photos too. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that's included in that.
Yeah. And you get the really video and all that yeah. kind of stuff. So,
right.
No, I still think PhotoPass is a great thing. And even with having my cell phone with me, I see the benefit to, you know, our whole family is going and somebody else is going to take care of the pictures. I mm-hmm. don't have to think about, you know, where's a good shot for a photo, wherever a PhotoPass person is, because
right.
Disney knows where's a good place for a photo and mm-hmm. they're going to make sure that you get that. And, you know, like my sister, our last trip, she had even been studying up on the Magic Shots. So she knew which one she wanted. So she would go tell the PhotoPass person, okay, can I get the one with, you know, this and this? Oh, can you get them to do the one with this? So apparently that's all out there. I'm not that into it, but she definitely was. So yeah, if you want to know about all of them, you can find out what's supposed to be where, and you can even get those taken. But yeah, I've been totally missing the point behind Magic Shots, and yeah, congratulations, Disney. You guys did and at the same time, like, I recognize why they're doing it, right? It's to make you want to buy PhotoPass so that they can get more of my money. But I don't feel bad about it.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, they should be adding value to stuff. Everything they do is to make us want to give them more money. Like, they wouldn't be building Star Wars Land or Toy Story Land if they didn't want us to give them more money. But like, that's kind of the give and take. They make cool things, we pay to go see those cool things. And I think PhotoPass is no different. And I don't have a problem with that. Like, I think that's the name of the game.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like the game is, here is arbitrary reason to give right. us more money. Here is something that's actually useful to you
mm-hmm.
and give us more money.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. So the last thing that we have to cover today is sad news. At least I'm calling it sad news. Some people may not call it sad news. I guess some people definitely aren't calling it sad news because it's the people are the reason that they're taking it away. If you are to be, you know, if everything is to be believed. But Whispering Canyon is apparently no longer doing silly things.
And I never got to do it. I never ate there. And I'm very, very sad.
Yeah. And now most of this is based on, number one, people going to Whispering Canyon recently and noticing that it was, you know, the ketchup gag was gone and stuff like that. And somebody actually asked Disney on Twitter, and they did respond, "We are continuously updating our offerings throughout Walt Disney World Resort and are currently working on what's next for Whispering Canyon. We apologize for any disappointments." So read that. So that all of that PR speak says, yes, you're right.
Right.
The ketchup thing is gone. The silly things are gone. And we're going to do something different with Whispering Canyon, which, like I said, I'm set. And I don't understand. Like, I've seen some people saying it's because of guest, and I really hope that it's not because of guest complaints, because, like, all you had to do was tell your waiter you didn't want to be a part of it.
Right.
And then you weren't a part of it. And then you could watch other people act like idiots.
Yeah, I saw another communique from Disney that I can't find again. It was on Twitter, that said that the cast members were asked to, quote, turn down the volume. So I don't know if that was a backpedal from what you read. You know, them saying like, no, there's still a little silliness. It's just a little more subdued. But yeah, it's a real bummer to think that people like would go and complain. Like, you wouldn't say that at 50s Primetime. I mean, if 50s Primetime didn't do those kind of silly things that they do, it wouldn't be nearly as good. Like, that's a big part of that restaurant. And I feel like the ketchup stuff and everything, that was a big part of Whispering Canyon. And I feel like even the name Whispering Canyon was like a joke based on what the restaurant was like.
Yeah, so I did find what you are referring to, which is apparently someone on Instagram asked them about it, and they said, "Thanks so much for reaching out. Whispering Canyon Cafe is still a rootin' tootin' good time for the whole family with plenty of antics. You will notice that we've asked our cast members to turn down the volume a bit to be more considerate to all our guests at Disney's Wilderness Lodge." So, yeah, that's kind of... Okay, so I guess...
Can we not just tell people to, like, have fun? Have a sense of humor?
So the one thing that I can think is that restaurant is pretty much open into the lobby, and everything points into the lobby in that lodge. So if the restaurant gets loud, everything gets loud. Maybe I don't ever remember feeling like it was extremely loud though, but maybe things have gotten louder since I went. So yeah, maybe they are trying to figure out what they're supposed to do, basically. But yeah, it just, I never felt like it got out of control. And, you know, Nancy never has been a big fan of that kind of stuff, right? But she enjoyed going to Whispering Canyon. She just didn't take part in the stuff, you know, the fun of it as it were, but she enjoyed watching other people take it, you know, and she just didn't want to be in the spotlight per se.
Yeah, and that's not like, so I will likely never make it to Shanghai Disney, but I can watch a video of Pirates of the Caribbean there and kind of get a feel for how that is and how cool and innovative that attraction is. I don't think I'll ever be able to watch a video of Whispering Canyon in its heyday, you know, and see like what all, how fun it was to be there and what all their gags were and stuff, you know? So I feel like I've kind of missed out now.
Yep. You shouldn't have had a kid, dude. You should have made another visit. tell your child, thanks for ruining Whispering Canyon for me. You know,
thanks just for go nothing.
Yeah, start just laying on the guilt trips real early, because 7-month-old children love guilt trips.
Mommy and Daddy used to go to Disney World every year.
That's right, before you came along. Oh, do not take any child rearing advice from us, please, please, please.
I'm new still. I don't know how mean to be yet. That'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.